This week's episode of Greetings from Storybrooke is brought to you by
Dog Boy, Den of Thieves, by Bill Meeks. Available now on the Amazon Kindle, iBooks, or for the Barnes & Noble Nook. And find out more at dogboyadventures.com.
We're running out of time.
We believe in you.
Because we love you.
More than anything.
I love you too. But I have to save magic.
No.
I'm sorry.
No!
Greetings from Storybrooke. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeSimone.
And this is A Friend, somebody to be at your side when I'm away, who can be with you when I cannot. Give it a name. Names always make things better. They make them real.
Bill Meeks.
And we really talk about Once Upon a Time pretty much every single week. How you doing, Anne-Marie?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I think that's the longest intro I've ever done.
That's why I felt they needed to supplement with some bad acting.
Fair enough.
I have a doll named Bill Meeks now. Don't mind these pins sticking out of its back.
Well, as long as, an immortal boy doesn't take the name. Spoilers.
Right? Spoilers.
About this week's episode.
You shouldn't be listening if you haven't watched the episode. We all
this
know
is
that
very
by now.
True. And if you haven't watched the episode,
Go do that first.
You're just not a true fan.
You really are.
Once Upon a Time. But really good episode.
Amazing
this
Amazing episode.
Phenomenal episode.
So many answers.
We could sit here and small talk about it all day.
Or we could just jump into it.
Yeah, or we could jump into
How
it. You want to give
that?
Us the
How about I read
the summary? Yeah, do
all
it.
Right, cool. What you wanted to know about Peter, but were afraid to ask. Rumble's father finally shows up, and he's a fan of the Flask. The good guys track Henry and Pan to Skull Island, where Pan aims to take Henry out before they find him. The shadow does speak, and Rumble gets caught. All in this week's episode, Think Lovely Thoughts. Lovely.
So speaking of thinking, what did you think of this episode, just in general?
Didn't we just talk about that? It was phenomenal.
What was your favorite thing about it?
Oh, my favorite thing was the fireball coming back at Regina. No, but that was probably one of my fun things because she's like, psh, screw you, I can do this.
I just really like
– I like all of it. There's so much.
All the resolution.
Yes.
There was a lot of resolution in this episode, kind of setting us up for the finale. I guess probably what we should talk about first is we find out the origin of Peter Pan.
Holla.
And if you didn't watch the episode, again, why are you listening to this? But turns out Peter Pan, Rumple's dad.
Mr. Stiltskin.
But yeah. I mean, we knew that Rumple and Peter had some sort of relationship, pre-existing relationship, but I didn't think it would be that close. I thought maybe we might get brothers or best friends or something like that.
I really always thought it was closer. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I said on here that I thought that it was his father.
Yeah.
I can't recall, but I feel like I had that theory at some point. Couldn't explain it. Because I have no idea what's going on in the showrunners' minds, but it just felt right.
Yeah, and I really, sadly, this is probably the only time we're ever going to get to see him, but I really enjoyed the actor they had on to play old Peter Pan, because I can't remember his actual
name. Rumple's father.
Yeah, Rumple's father. But he was just very charismatic and just did a really good job with the part.
It was perfect. Him and young Rumple both did amazing.
And I could definitely see him being like that, being who Peter Pan would grow up to be, like the Peter Pan I know from, you know, the stories and everything. But, you know, just kind of like the town
Smarmy.
Drunk.
Smarmy.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, one thing that I kind of wondered about is because, according to the shadow, besides coming there in dreams, no one had ever been to Neverland before they showed up through the magic bean.
He didn't say no one had ever been there, but he said he was the sole inhabitant.
Yes.
That's different.
But what I'm wondering is, since adult Peter Pan when he was a kid. Weird.
Wow.
But when he was a kid, he went to Neverland in dreams.
Yes.
So I'm wondering if maybe Neverland never actually existed as a place until he thought about it when he threw the bean. Maybe he wished it into existence.
Which is possible because everything is possible in Neverland.
It would also explain, you know, why the shadow pegged him to become the new ruler of Neverland. And something else that kind of struck me about the character in general was how ineffective and how much of a screw-up he was as an adult and how completely opposite that
he was
to
as a child.
Who Pan is.
Right.
You know, Pan we've been presented with as super smart, effective, you know, he's the master of every situation he's involved in.
But he's a trickster. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. It's pro-trickster.
Well, I kind of thought...
Follow the lady.
I kind of thought it might have something to do with the fact that he seemed to always, like, in the back of his head, he always thought he was a better person as a boy. You know, when he says during the episode, I should have never been a father.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Maybe the best version of him
was a child.
And I mean, whether that's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, I can only be good as a child, or he actually is only good as a child. Maybe that's why he's so effective, where, you know, as an adult, he was just a complete and total town drunk screw up. Yeah. Let's see here. A couple other things. You know, he mentions Think Lovely Thoughts. Mm-hmm. That's both an episode or a reference to the song from the musical Peter Pan. That's the number where Peter teaches everyone how to fly. And, you know, it's also a reference, obviously, to the movies, any book. But Think Lovely Thoughts, I believe that exact quote is only from the musical version. And hold on, I'd made a note here. Yeah, in the book, it was actually Lovely Wonderful Thoughts. And it was Happy Thoughts in the Disney movie.
That's because it was Disney.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought that was interesting and worth pointing out, especially since, you know, it factored in so heavily into the episode.
Yeah, it was the episode.
So, and sentiment I kind of noticed in the fandom in general after the episode, 90% of it was exactly our reaction. Completely awesome, you know, best episode ever. But there were a few people who seemed like they thought it might be, you know, one step too far with all the characters interconnected and related to each other. And everything, but did you think that at all? Did you think maybe it was a little
not at all? Mm-hmm. I think it makes sense.
Yeah.
Are we all watching the same show, ladies and gentlemen? Of course, they're connected. They're all originally really from the same world. How are they? I mean, there's lots of people.
If it had been a different
connection.
Set of two characters or something like that, I could see myself having a problem with it and thinking one step too far. But the thing is, the revelation as it was, the story potential in that is so exciting to me that I'm completely okay with it, even if it seems maybe a little too convenient. The stories that are going to come from it in the future completely outweigh any sort of kind of coincidence feeling I had about it.
Yeah. So, okay. Just moving right along to me then.
Yes.
Why in the world does Rumple actually think that Neil Balefire is going to forgive him when he's running around not forgiving his father?
Yeah, that's...
Has bothered me for the entire thing. Like, not just this episode, because he's always like, oh, I'd never forgive him. I'm like, then why in the world should your son forgive you?
Yeah, because that's – and I mean, Pan even says it in this episode. It just surprised me with how almost identical the situations were.
Like, yes.
Almost no – I mean, I think that kind of
– they each chose power of some sort.
But I think that also speaks to why Rumple did what he did as far as the curse and Storybrooke and made such an effort to set it right, because he probably saw those parallels too.
I'm sure
he
was
like, you know, I don't want to be my – that's the second time he's unintentionally become like his father, the first time being the coward when he was really just trying to make it home to his son.
Right.
And but the second time pretty much exactly he was selfish and let his son go because of it.
Yeah.
Just like his dad did.
Yeah.
Which was really –
Do you think his mind will change while he's in the Pandora? Pandora's box? Do you think he's having some time to
I don't know about that? I guess it depends on what is in there. Like, it almost seemed like it might just be kind of like a state, like a static state that it puts whoever's in it in. Like, you know, like they might be frozen or something.
Oh.
You know, I don't know if he's going to be
able. I was thinking of it as like a genie's lamp. Or bottle, or whatever we're calling it.
But I mean, considering it's meant to hold, you know, ultimate evil. What's one thing you don't want ultimate evil to have? Time to plan.
Sorry.
Time to strategize or find a way out.
That's true.
You know, so I could definitely see why, you know, being put in the Pandora's box might kind of freeze him. And I'm sure we're going to see Rumple get out of there at some point. It'll just be interesting to see
how. It'll be at least 2 weeks.
Now, yes. Which, let's go ahead and put that right out on Front Street here.
We have a 2 week break, people.
We were supposed to not have any.
We were lied to.
Yeah, like they were like, you know, you're going to have 11 straight weeks and then a 2 week break.
And then it was 8.
Yes.
Like a 2 week break.
But I mean, we talked about this a little bit last night after we both watched it, or maybe today.
It was today.
But, you know, if you're going to break it at any point, this seems like the best, because that was a really good.
This could have been a mid season break.
Mm-hmm.
It really could have been.
Yeah, because now pretty much all of the questions have been answered, minus a few I think I have down here at the bottom.
Yes, the questions we have in our notes.
But, you know, minus a few things, pretty much everything's been answered. Every mystery is cleared up, and now we're just
reunited that needs reunited.
Mm-hmm. Now we're just left with the big, what the heck is going to happen now?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but we did get to meet a new character in this week's episode.
Well,
we got to know
him a little bit more personally.
Mm-hmm. Which is The Shadow.
Which is Marilyn Manson.
Marilyn Manson, who did a pretty respectable job, a lot more cognizant than I guess he was on Talking Dead a few weeks back.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. There was, I guess Chris Hardwick was actually making fun of him on the show because he was just so out of it and like.
That's not someone I would make
conversation.
Fun of. Even if he's out of it, he's going to go back and listen to that.
Well, I watched some clips from it. You kind of, Manson could tell that Chris was doing. But it just went from being awkward to weird to just like, oh, what the heck? We have to acknowledge this situation or it's going to get away from us. Wow. But anyway. He did a good job tonight. You know, he has the voice for it, of course. But I wonder who the Shadow actually is or who he might be an agent of. Is the Shadow the big bad, or is the Shadow just acting for the big bad?
The Shadow's part of Neverland. It's the balance. Mm-hmm.
The balance?
No, I don't know if the balance. Well, you can go there and you can do anything, but the Shadow has set up this time frame. You have until this is done.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, there's no way to break it. Of course, he finds a way because he's Pan.
Yeah.
But something like that. Like, you can do anything and be great. It'd all be grand, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't know. The darkness with the light. I don't know. I'm trying to be creative.
I just wonder to what purpose he might have set up the whole hourglass thing and, you know.
How did he arbitrarily
there,
pick that?
Brought him there and offered Peter the chance to stay there in general. Like, what's behind it all? Because it seems like there has to be something behind it all.
Right.
And so I guess that's really the question. And, you know, is this going to feed into our big bad theory that we've had on and off all season? But, you know, another good question is whose shadow is it? Or is it just an entity onto itself, original?
I think it's an original.
One other thing I was kind of wondering about it is, why doesn't it talk anymore? Because we've seen it a bunch. We've seen it interact directly with its master, Pan, and it just clammed up, not talking at all. I just wonder why.
Perhaps because that's what Pan wants.
But I'm just saying, you know, and I mean, especially considering that the shadow creature basically gave Pan all of his power. Like, I just wonder if maybe something happened, you know, along the way. Maybe, in fact, maybe it ties into the fact that Neverland stuck in Eternal Night. Although I kind of got the impression that might be because the hourglass is running out, so the day of Neverland or whatever is running out. But, you know, lots of questions. I'm just asking questions.
Which is funny because you said earlier that we got lots of answers. completely, slightly more fun. Pixie dust
mm-hmm.
coming out the flowers. So does it just, you know, naturally grow in these flowers? Mm-hmm. Are there little fairies harvesting?
Well, I'd assume if nothing else, for sure, Neverland is running out of it, because why else would Henry and Pan take a boat out to Skull Island instead of flying, you know?
Right. Well, that doesn't surprise me at all.
There doesn't seem to be a lot of flying in general anymore in Neverland.
It has been hundreds of years.
Yeah, yeah. So the supply
the supply is gone, because it's the same day.
Mm-hmm.
There hasn't been time.
This is true.
Nothing can really, you know. Mm-hmm. Although they should be recharging, because they're absorbing the moon, because they only bloom at night.
Well, you know what, to go back to what I was saying a few minutes ago, this is making even more sense and gelling in my head more as we're talking.
Yeah,
that's definitely why it's night in Neverland, because the clock's almost run out, so we're almost through the full day in Neverland. Like, that's the answer. Before I was saying, maybe this could be it. No, I'm pretty much convinced now, just talking it out a little bit. That's definitely the answer.
And it's weird because it's pixie dust,
mm-hmm.
which, here we go, show crossing again. We don't see pixie dust too much in Once, but we see pixie dust in Wonderland.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. It grew in the flowers at the top of the trees.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't be surprised if Neverland and Wonderland are somehow connected.
I'm just saying.
Like, for example, you know, if we go back to my theory that maybe adult Peter Pan created Neverland when he threw the magic bean. Maybe that's how Wonderland was created too. Maybe someone threw a magic bean and brought up a realm.
I can totally see that.
Yeah. And I mean, both lands have the type of quality that would lend themselves to that kind of explanation too, which is interesting. Okay. And now
this might be my favorite of your points.
Yeah. And I'll just read it verbatim and then we'll discuss it. Okay. My point E. Stupid Henry, and subpoint, Henry is stupid. Now let's discuss. Henry is pretty stupid.
He's completely stupid and completely predictable, because he's a 10-year-old boy who just wants to be the hero.
Well, it was just like, and I mean, you know, obviously it was written this way for dramatic tension, all that kind of stuff, but it was like, you know, they were convincing him, they convinced him, and he did it anyway.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, yeah, you guys are right. I'm completely with you. You know what? This guy that you're turning me against, I just have to give my heart to him real quick. And then, dead.
Please.
I do like that Peter left the decision up to Henry, though. Again, Peter Pan's not the kind of guy to get his hands dirty with anything or to outright tell a lie or anything. He lets you hang yourself by your own 3 foot of noose,
right?
Kind of thing, which I thought completely keeping with the characters, and one of the reasons I love him so much. Probably my favorite character on the show since Rumpelstiltskin.
Which makes sense.
Yes.
sort of going with that, and I don't have it in here. How in the world did Henry not hear all the shenanigans going on when...
Oh, with the Pandora's box?
Yes.
He was
sitting in the corner. One of my notes is nobody puts Henry in the corner.
Yeah, I actually wrote something down about that too. It almost the way it was staged anyway, it almost seemed like Henry would have been an eyesight or eyeline of
he's like, I'm just gonna walk you over here and sit you down. Mm-hmm. I have to go handle something
in this big echoey cavern and then have a big loud conversation over here that you're not supposed to hear anything.
You won't hear any of it. Yeah, that was very not believable to me. Mm-hmm. So
I don't know if Pan had, like, I don't know, put him out one of the eye holes or something.
That'd have been more believable.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So, the spinsters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what I went back and checked. That's what they were credited as.
Spinsters?
At the end. Yeah.
Yeah. Where'd they get a magic bean?
I don't know.
Like, they just pulled it out like it was an M&M. Mm-hmm. They're like, here, take this magic bean and go to a new realm all by yourself.
How did they know Rumpel's dad, even? You know, how did he know to...
Maybe they were the lady. No. I don't know.
Yeah,
we don't know anything about them.
Like, the second I saw them and kind of like the gut feeling I got I got – and there's nothing backing this up. I meant to go and research this a little bit today. I didn't. But the gut feeling I had was maybe they might be related to the fairy ants that take care of Aurora in Sleeping Beauty.
There were three of them.
There were three of them. But – and there are two of them here. But think – okay, when was the last time we saw someone give someone in this bloodline a magic bean? They gave it to Balefire so him and Rumple could leave the Enchanted Forest. So what I'm thinking is maybe the third sister who gave that, the Blue Fairy. So maybe the Blue Fairy is the third sister. And maybe these two women are actually fairies working under her auspices or with her or in conjunction with her somehow.
Oh,
and they'll all reunite as you know, the three fairy sisters somewhere along the line.
Okay, see, now I like it.
That's what I was thinking. Anyway.
I didn't like it before. I didn't like it at all. It made no sense that.
No, but I mean,
kudos to you, sir, for yourself.
We've always had a bit of a theory. And I mean, this is, I think it's pretty common in the fandom too. The Blue Fairy is up to something.
Oh yeah, she's not innocent.
And you know, one of these days that's going to shake out, and we're going to find out exactly what she's been doing all this time. And I think this could possibly tie into that theory if it turns out to bear fruit or whatever. But okay, so one other thing: assuming Rumple gets out of Pandora's box, which we'll go ahead and assume yes.
We're going to assume yes.
But Rumple made a promise in this episode that he would cure Charming as soon as they got back to Storybrooke and not take anything in return because, you know, Bay was like, do it because it's the right thing to do, Dad. Come on.
No, it wasn't that innocent sounding. It was, you're going to do this.
Yeah.
And you're not going to take anything.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, Rumple has committed to healing Charming. So is that an out for Charming, or is that kind of a fake out and we're actually either Rumple's going to do something selfish in the end and end up not saving Charming, or that they're just not even going to try and go back and just stay in Neverland?
No, they think they'll try and go back.
You think they'll try and go back?
Yeah.
So
because they were believing in Emma,
mm-hmm.
that she didn't give up on them, and she found
but
a
way.
But
I mean, who knows how circumstances might change
before
the end.
Well, you know, at this point, our guy is in Pandora's box mm-hmm. and is in his father's control.
I mean, I could also see someone making a heroic sacrifice to save the life of one young boy, too.
Yeah, but he doesn't Although need you're, two I hearts think, to do that.
I think you're pretty convinced that Henry...
He's dead.
This is the end for Henry, right?
I think I just want it to be the end of Henry. I'm sorry.
See, you know what?
I feel the hate mail coming already, but...
Oh, I don't think anyone's watching this show for Henry. I don't think you need to worry. Not to say, I mean, he's a young actor. He's fine. The character's
you're not even convincing. Good try.
No, but I actually kind of almost buy that because spoiler.
Didn't we talk about this last week?
Well, the next episode, the creators have been talking about this since the summer. The next episode, we're going to see how Henry was adopted.
Oh,
so I could definitely see them doing that. The episode he dies, you find out how he came into the story. Well, besides, you know, the obvious
the
route.
Birth.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, you know, so that would be kind of a nice
that
way
would be
to
nice
to tie off the character.
Can they bury them with a book?
What's that?
Can they bury them with a book?
We still need to find out who wrote the darn book.
I know. That needs answered this season.
And I also kind of want Henry to become friends with Pinocchio, too. Like, best buds with Pinocchio.
Well, BFFs. sorry. Wait. Where was I? Okay. So the green wave of magic.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
It was creepy, mm-hmm. but it was cool. But it was so much like every other big curse or magical thing. Mm-hmm. But those were usually purple.
Yeah. Yeah. So
is green like a Neverland thing?
I'm guessing.
I'm sure it's not, you know,
and
terribly
I mean,
relevant.
Green, Neverland, Evergreen, you know.
Right. Yeah, that whole train of thought made sense
what?
To me.
What? We're just an evergreen tree. It's always green. Neverland. Nothing ever dies. No seasons. No dark leaves. I can see
I'm going to think. Say you need to drink some magic juice and move on with that theory.
It's word association.
But no, I just thought it was cool that was mm-hmm. powerful enough to warrant the wave of magic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That is earthquake-esque.
Yeah, I'm just wondering what's going to happen with Peter at this point. And it's not on our notes, but I thought we should definitely
address
it.
There's a lot of things not on our notes that should be discussed here.
Like, what happens? Because what was it? What all did Wendy? I'm so overwhelmed. What all did Wendy say about what would happen if Peter got the heart of the truest believer?
He would be immortal. And have absolute power.
Yeah, was it that he would have absolute – or was it that he would control magic, I almost want to say.
No. Sorry. Two of the notes.
Yeah, but I just it just seems like – I don't know – how do they get out of that room? Like where does Peter Pan go when the episode picks up next week? Because I know from the trailer from next week we see some scenes with Regina and Emma down on their knees around Henry trying to revive him and stuff. So why does Peter leave him and what does he need
with him now? He has his heart.
Yeah, but I mean, you'd think he would dispatch the – only people left in Neverland trying to stop him now that he has what he wanted, you know?
Yeah.
Because there's no one left to manipulate. He has what he wants. So what does he do now?
I don't know. Maybe he's formulating that now, hiding in a tree somewhere.
He's just floating up there. And they're like, hey, you killed this guy. And he goes, hold on. I'm planning.
I'm floating.
Leave Give me a minute.
I've got it.
Give me a minute. I didn't think past this.
I wasn't sure this would happen.
I've killed I have my son in a box. I've killed my
great grandson. My grandson's sitting over there
crying for some reason. Oh yeah, because I killed a son.
And his son's foster.
Where do I go from here?
Yeah. What happens here?
We're 5 years and 1 month on Peter Pan's 5-year plan.
And, he didn't quite get there.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of
yes.
Besides that big unanswered question, we have a few other unanswered questions that are just holes in the timeline a little bit that I'd like to see filled in.
Let's go with holes in the timeline as opposed to unanswered questions.
Yeah, but we still haven't got to see exactly what happened when Bay was in Neverland. You would think that this would have come up. The whole
I'm actually quite surprised we haven't gotten some sort of flashback with Neverland.
Yeah, with Yun Bae in Neverland. Because we haven't even seen Yun Bae in Neverland since last season.
Okay, well, I'm just going to go down your list. Tink or Hook?
Yeah.
We don't have much of theirs.
Well, we don't know how Tink got there, and we don't know how Hook left the second time.
Did we see Hook come back?
Yeah.
Did we?
Yeah, because remember, that's what happens after he confronts Rumple after Mila dies. He gets the bean and grabs Smee. And
Smee!
They go down the hole to Neverland.
Okay.
Those are the three main things, though. What did Bay do while he was in Neverland? We kind of know how he got out.
Yeah. He held on to the shadow.
How did Tink get there? And how did Hook leave the second time? These are all questions we need answered.
Sorry, I was trying to answer them in my head, and I had nothing.
We don't have the answers.
I have no answers.
Can you add one more point here to finish us off?
I don't think Wendy's that trustworthy.
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not.
Even after we got her to tell the truth, maybe, hopefully.
Well, it was that look that Rumple pointed out and caught on.
You could see it.
Yeah, you could definitely see it, which, credit to the actress.
Right.
And everything. But
I mean, she's, 15?
But yeah, I wouldn't trust her to because I mean the fact that she was talking to Bay, who according to her she came to Neverland to save.
I don't believe that for a second.
Yeah. There's some. I mean, I definitely think she's a victim at this point. She's a prisoner of Pan's. But there's something else going on. Well, just because
the first time she said, am I free?
Why would he have to hide that from the Lost Boys? Why would he keep her in the cage? She's not hidden from the Lost Boys. But I'm saying if she was in on it. Because there was no one else around. No one knew about those cages in the story besides the Lost Boys and Pan. That was a mystery for the audience. So why would he fake holding her prisoner?
Oh, okay.
Why would he need to trick the Lost Boys? Because the Lost Boys pretty much follow him blindly.
Sorry.
But I also wonder maybe if she's running her own anti-Pan scheme too.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with that.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, why
she's trying to figure out her best route to get home to be with her brothers.
Yeah, it's just confusing too why she felt the need to continue to lie once Faye was there. That's really what makes it a little fishy.
Yeah.
Ooh, fishy sorry. For me. But yeah, Anne-Marie is not caffeinated tonight.
I'm sorry. I'm not highly caffeinated. I forgot to get a Starbucks at work.
Oh, you know what? Before we wrap up the episode discussion, I think we should probably point out
right here, this Saturday,
we are going to be doing a special episode of Greetings from Storybrooke.
Nothing to do with Greetings or Storybrooke.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with Once Upon a Time at all. It's going to be our 50th episode, though.
Yes.
And we figured for the 50th episode, which was going to be Saturday anyway, because we were going to do our Wonderland episode, or release our Wonderland episode on Saturday, we decided we'll put that off until next week since both shows are on hiatus, give you something for Thanksgiving week to listen to. But this Saturday, we're going to be recording our 50th episode all about the 50th anniversary special of Doctor Who. Which we thought was very appropriate. And, you know, we asked you guys, and you guys said, hey, yeah, we'd love to have you guys talk
about
it.
And the more we talk about it, the more excited. I'm like, there are more Whovians here than I expected.
Who? Popular?
What?
Who would have thought? That wasn't meant to be a pun.
That was horrible.
I can do much better puns.
Were you just making fun of me? Is that all you're doing?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Let's move on.
But anyway, yeah, this Saturday we're going to be releasing a special episode all about the Day of the Doctor. Snow Bunny, who was on our Wonderland episode this past Saturday, will be joining us, as well as my friend Patrick Delahante.
That's the most normal you've ever said his name.
Yeah, I think I misspelled his name. I just call him PD. But he's basically in a walking encyclopedia of Who, and the other three of us are Whovians, so we'll have a resource, a knowledgeable resource, and we'll just all be able to geek out. It'll be a great time. If you like the loosey-goosey episodes,
That will be a loosey-goosey.
Yeah, I was going to say I predict maximum loosey-goosey.
Yes, because we're just watching it and then going to the computer and recording, so there will be like -0 prep time. -0? Yeah. What? I don't know. Anyway.
Okay, so out of...
Oh, my favorite.
Out of three abandoned relatives of Rumpelstiltskin, how many abandoned episodes of Rumpelstiltskin do you give this episode?
You mean abandoned relatives?
Yeah, that's what I meant to say.
No.
That's not what
More
I said.
More magic juice for you, sir. I will give this... That was loud. Two relatives and three extremities.
Why?
Because it's funny. No, because it was an amazing episode. There was very few things that are left unanswered. I felt satisfied. I was able to go right to sleep after watching it. I wasn't up going, but what's going on with this? So it was amazing.
Yeah.
It left me warm and fuzzy. Mm. I
would give it three abandoned relatives of Rumpelstiltskin. I would even flash forward 20 years to include Henry's son to give it four. Because
there will be no
so
Henry's
much.
Son. Henry is dead. That's my new hashtag. No, Henry is dead.
I loved it. And like I said right at the top, it's because there was so much resolution, and the last moment just has me so excited for the last few episodes of the season. Like, I can tell we're going to be moving at kind of a breakneck speed, yeah. And we're going
to
see some cool stuff.
Yeah.
which I'm really, and I mean, we saw a lot of cool stuff in this episode too.
I want,
but we're done with the mysteries. Now it's time for the action, basically.
Bam, pow, kablowy.
Which always fun, always fun. And unfortunately we have a break now.
Break.
Lame.
2 weeks. Well, this will give everybody time to eat their turkey and eat their pie, you know.
All that.
Do all that stuff.
Stupid stuff.
Maybe this will give people time to write up some fan fiction and send it in so we can do a fan fiction episode this winter.
This is true, because we have committed to doing an all fan fiction episode.
And we currently have two pieces of fan fiction.
Yes, two pieces of fan fiction.
It must be your own original fan fiction.
Yeah, we have had a couple
appreciate links to others because it's entertaining, but... We're not going to talk about it on the show unless you wrote it.
Yeah, because basically we just need the okay of the author, and we don't have time to go track that down ourselves. So, no. I mean, if you want to send someone else's in and you get their permission, that's fine, too.
Yeah, we're going to need the written permission slip saying that the author
is. And I'm probably going to be writing a short fan fiction story include in that episode, too, and we'll release it on the blog and stuff. It'll be
good
fun.
Good to know. I, however, will not. But, because I'm just not that good of a writer. I used to be.
But, you know, that fan fiction episode, it'll be basically be audiobooks of people's
fan
fictions.
Mini audiobooks.
Which, you know, if we haven't mentioned it, hey, Audible is this week's
Hey, Audible, what's up?
Of Greetings from Storybrooke.
That was a good segue.
Thank you. And for you, the listeners of Greetings from Storybrooke, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Now, you know, as we said, you can go in, sign up for Audible, throw an audiobook on your iPod, your MP3 player, your Zune.
You're getting predictable.
Sorry. Your Android device, I'm sure they have Kindle because they're owned by Amazon. but, you know, and you can take 30 days and you get to keep the book either way, which is fun. Your free book either way. And we always like to recommend a book.
A little something for you to get you started.
And, what was your recommendation this week, Anne-Marie?
Okay. Let's just be honest. There have been no new characters that we could bring in. There is no Peter Pan's ghost story out there.
Some weeks we can't get cute with the pigs.
We try. This week, however, I just went for a book that I thoroughly enjoy, and that would be Little Women by Louisa May Alcott.
A classic.
Classic. Sometimes, you know, you just have to enjoy the classics.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it does start off kind of holiday-ish, and we're leading in towards that.
Fair enough. And I also picked a completely random one.
Yours works just by the at least by name. I'm not familiar.
But I picked the first volume of a short story collection by Stephen King, and I think that's actually our second Stephen King recommendation, called Nightmares and Dreamscapes. Now, this was the first book I ever read by Stephen King, and it made me fall in love with his writing. And it's a bunch of short stories, so, you know, if you don't like one, you're going to like the next one. You can skip around.
Mm-hmm.
And they've made some movies from some of the stories in this book. The one that pops into mind is The Night Flyer, about an airplane that gets taken over by a vampire.
Nice.
So, you know, if you want to check either of those out, you can go ahead and check them out, or pick any audiobook if you're choosing from Audible's site. They have just tons and tons of titles. I want to give you a number, but I don't want to be wrong. Let's just say tons.
Yeah. I want for our next step, for our 50th, because I'm sure we'll
50th?
Do for the 50th. Send us your recommendations.
I like that.
Send us your recommendations. You're probably a little sick of us. And please, as much as we love Doctor Who, don't just tell me you want the Doctor Who books, because I need some creativity. Send us a message via audiobook recommendation.
I like it. I like it.
Do you like it?
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. And obviously you're going to want to listen to that recommendation.
See if we, you know, use it.
but you're going to want to listen to that audiobook before you recommend it to us. Because you can't just recommend something without listening to it.
Absolutely not.
So just go get your free audiobook. And to do that, go to audibletrial.com/storybrooke. Again, that's audibletrial.com/storybrooke for your free audiobook. And we want to thank Audible again this week for sponsoring Greetings from Storybrooke.
Thank you, Audible, as always.
And now, on to the news. News. Okay, first up, ratings. A new series high. Oh, wait a second. No.
Not so much.
Once Upon a Time hit a new series low with a 1.9, down 2/10 from last week's season low, tying 2.1 adults to 18 to 49.
What the what?
Yeah, yeah.
Were people not paying attention to the previews?
I don't know. It just went down. Was there something?
Was there a big football game? I haven't been paying that much. It was football that was the problem. But I'm sorry, it wasn't the Steelers, so I don't understand the problem.
Yeah, and I think these numbers, I don't think we've got the final DVR numbers or anything either.
We do always get a bump around Tuesday or Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and plus, you know, TV by the Numbers, where we often go to for the ratings, also says, note, due to the nature of live programming, the ratings for NBC and Fox are approximate and subject. So there was some football stuff going on.
There was football. There's always football.
Might have affected the numbers, too. So acceptable.
acceptable, but no.
Room for improvement.
Yeah, but then we're going to have 2 weeks off. It's not good to have a season low and then 2 weeks off. Ladies and gentlemen, get your friends out there watching.
Yeah, that's one thing that just – and that's really the only other big story we have under the news this week. It's just the break, because we were told no break at all.
Chiefs and Broncos. Yeah, that shouldn't have been taken over.
But you know, what's up with the break, guys? You said we weren't going to have a break.
Should check into that.
Come back to me.
I'm here with you. I promise.
We also have a preview for next week's episode, and
in
2 weeks.
Ew. Okay. So wait. So we have this week. We're off next week. We're off the week. Is that really 3 weeks?
No, it was 2 weeks from last night.
Okay.
So. Okay. No, but we see some stuff. We see a flying pirate ship. We see Regina kneel down next to Henry trying to save him.
Don't we see Henry on a boat?
Do we see Henry on? I think yeah. On the Jolly Roger. He's on the Jolly Roger. Snow and Charming and Emma are tied to a tree at one point.
That. I love that. Yeah.
And of course, they're using the hashtag Save Henry again, which we were talking earlier, and I was like, that would be really funny if they put so much effort into this hashtag Save Henry
and
only to kill him off.
Yeah.
But,
I like that.
Yeah, and we'll have a link to the that preview and everything at our show notes at greetingsfromstorybrooke.com. Now we'll go ahead and get into some listener feedback.
We have so much. Okay, listen, you guys. I was at work last night until like after 11.
Mm-hmm.
I had to avoid the Twitters. I had to avoid the emails. I tried to avoid the Facebook, but that's not really possible because my phone was blowing up the entire time I was at work, climbing up and down ladders for hours.
You know what, Anne-Marie?
Yes. Tiniest violin. I'm aware.
No, I was going to say, it sounds a lot like you're complaining because our listeners care so much. They want to let us know what's happening right after the episode ends, like we always ask them to. And I don't think our listeners deserve that, Anne-Marie. I want you to apologize to them.
I was jealous. I wanted to read it. I wanted to listen to the voicemails, but I couldn't.
But, you know, like
I'm not mad. I promise.
Like I said, we like you to run and give us feedback as soon as the episode's done.
They have to run?
They do. They have to,
have a jog going.
They literally have to run. But if you want to send us an email, it's greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com. Twitter is @GFStorybrooke. Facebook is facebook.com/greetingsfromstorybrooke. And the voicemail number, which we love, and we always play the voicemails.
Four tonight.
We do. Is 424-274-2352. I will say for the Doctor Who episode, when I say run, literally run, because we're going to be recording it three or 4 hours after it initially airs, the Doctor Who special, Day of the Doctor. So if you want some your feedback in the episode, please get it to us ASAP. But I guess we'll go ahead and get into some of the voicemails here. The first one, and she might be a newbie, is from Danielle. So I'll go ahead and play that now.
Hi, this is Danielle. I'm from California. I have a little bit of feedback. I have a thought on Rumple. I've been watching season 1 and 2 again, and I really, the second time you watch a show, you kind of notice a little more than you did the first time. And I really feel sorry for him. Darkhorn persona is like a wall. You know, when you're bullied as a kid and you're bullied as an adult, you put a wall around yourself and, you know, keep from getting hurt. That is the wall. And then this last episode, not the one that's airing tonight because I haven't seen it yet, but weird, I'm sending feedback from this one I haven't seen. And when he said to Ariel, oh, tell Bill I love her, I'm thinking, like, that wall is crumbling. That wall is crumbling around him. He's not going to be the dark one anymore. And that might even be what the seer meant by. And also, I'm Captain Fawn. Sorry, oh my gosh, I don't remember your name. I'm sorry. But I'm Captain Fawn too, and I hope I get together. Okay.
Captain Swan!
Ah, boo!
No, I definitely see what you're saying. Although I did notice in this episode, especially in that scene with Pan, like I think that I might have seen some dark one, more darker than any version of the Dark One I've seen before. Like in Rumple's eyes, and just kind of he had this growl to him in a couple of the lines to Pan that I thought was kind of interesting.
That's good.
YouTube. Okay, let's see here. Next up, we have Bud, who we love.
Bud.
From the Storybrooke News Report. He's been on the show before, and I think we're going to try and get him back on for an episode of Wonderland if
this
we
is
can.
The first he's hearing about this.
Probably.
Yeah.
But that's fine. But okay, go ahead and take it away, Bud.
Hey guys, Bud here. I just finished watching the episode. It was absolutely insane, and what a cliffhanger. I mean, that was absolutely crazy. I mean, I really don't know what to say. The fact that Peter Pan was Rumpelstiltskin's father, I don't know if that's like a cop-out or if that's a huge like plot twist. It's a little bit of both, actually. But honestly, I don't know if like what's going to happen, because Henry's hearts was saved him all these times in the past, but now that he doesn't have it, who knows what's going to happen. So I'm really looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say about all this. So I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks, Bud.
Thank you, Bud.
Yeah, Henry has always been kind of defined by his heart, so.
And that's gone now.
Yeah, so I think
aww.
Henry might be out the door.
Peace out, Henry dude.
And I don't know, honestly, if you put a gun to my head and I have to choose between Henry and Peter Pan, from an audience member's perspective.
Totally keeping Peter Pan.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, Henry.
If it was in the real world, I'd choose Henry.
Oh, of course. You always want to have a good guy on your side.
But in the story world, Peter Pan is king.
Peter Pan is king.
All right, now who do we have up here next?
We have Woo.
Woo.
This
here we go.
Fun. Woo.
Hey guys, this is Wu. I just wanted to give my thoughts on this week's episode. I'm just mere minutes from watching the episode. And like Bill said on the Facebook, or I don't know if it was Anne-Marie, I'm with you guys. Wow. I really loved the origin of Rumpel. I loved the reveal. You guys called it. It makes the most sense. I'm just shocked. Those last few minutes, probably one of the best episodes of the entire series. Definitely the best episode of the season thus far. I really don't know what this is going to mean for the future. Obviously, they're going to wrap up the Pan storyline in 2 weeks, but I really don't know what to say. Acting-wise, great acting by everybody. Love Marilyn Manson as the voice of Pan Shadow. Again, you guys will probably cover it in this week's episode. I can't wait to hear it. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
We will not cut you, Wu. We will not cut you.
We did not.
We did not.
Also, yeah, that wow was totally me. So.
Yeah, the wow was because I was hanging clothes.
Yeah, and I really have been kind of surprised with how accurate a lot of our guesses have been.
Yeah, we've been doing really good. So Henry's dead. Sorry, everyone, because I'm calling it.
You know, I would just like to say hi to Jane Espenson, who is obviously
listening. Hi, Jane. How are you?
It was nice seeing you at Dragon Con. No.
Can we do an interview sometime? Actually, any of you.
Okay, so yes, and yes, we're shamelessly asking for interviews again. If anybody really...
Because obviously our grumpy plea did not work.
You know what? I was kind of digging down into the analytics for the website for Greetings from Storybrooke this
week. Was there some Quebecians?
Yes, there was.
For real?
Yeah, yeah. There were a lot of people in a concentrated area right around where they shoot the show. So, I mean, there might be some people listening.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, I want to do an interview with you guys. Come
anybody.
On.
Anybody.
Contact us. greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com.
That would be cool.
Okay, let's wrap up with Michael for the voicemails.
We have more letters.
Don't worry. We're not done yet. Here we go.
Hey, this is Michael Lucero, a longtime listener. I just want to know, what is the Shadow's real motivation? Did he manipulate Pan into doing what he did when Rumpel was a child? And if so, for what reason? I think most people have assumed that the Shadow was Pan, but it's starting to look more like the Pan is the Shadow's. And maybe this is unimportant, but I think this is the third, I think, time we've seen Neverland in a flashback when it's been daylight, but we still have yet to see it in the present day, except at night. And I thought before that this was because of magic dying in Neverland, but now that we know that's just a lie of Pan, will we ever get an explanation for this? I also love seeing the origins of Rumpel's impish voice and mannerisms. His father sounded just like the Dark One, the Dark One era Rumpel at times. and even if some of his gestures look similar. And lastly, I wanted to note that about the costuming, that I sent the email last week about that not necessarily meaning that much in terms of, you know, what time period the flashbacks take place in. I think that was proven tonight since two of the guys Rumpel's father was trying to swindle at the beginning of the episode had the same kind of, you know, colonial era British hats. I think they're called tricorns. Messier colonial, Victorian, and medieval costuming all kind of blending together in the Enchanted Forest. That's really all I have to say for now, so keep up the great work on the podcast. I love you, listening to you guys.
We love you, too.
Thank you, Michael. And yeah, a lot of really great points. And I want to let you know that I did not listen to this voicemail beforehand, or we didn't. Although if you listened to the first half of your voicemail, you might have thought so, because you brought up a lot of the same points we did, which is great. We're on the same page.
Yay!
I love being on the same page. Speaking awesome. Of being on the same page, we were on the same podcast with Deb Snow Bunny this weekend for Wonderland, and she's also going to be on our Doctor Who special.
Yes, she's going to wake up at 3 a.m.
And she also wrote us. And she also wrote us a letter this week. You want to go ahead and read it?
Sure. It's Deb here, and this is because I never sent you guys an email. I tend to just blurt out random thoughts on Twitter. So here it goes. I enjoy your random blurts on Twitter, by the way. Excessive scrolling. Okay, well, this episode was super cray-cray. And to appease you, Bill, I added, out of 17 hearts of the truest believer, I give it 16.5.
Yeah, I saw that, so I knew I couldn't use that for the scale.
There's actually a couple of emails that had a rating on them. I love that you guys are making up your own ratings. That's fantastic. Let's talk about how Pan equals Rump's daddy. Didn't see that coming. Good on Robert that left a voicemail last week for hitting it right on the nose. All the deflection about Pan not being related to Rumps, and this is what happens. Mind blown. So Creepsville Shadow Man is not Pan's shadow. How does that work exactly? Does Pan not have a shadow? Confused. Now this Rumps in a box and Henry's heart in Pan, where will we go from here? What I do know that this snot-nosed little brat Pan has to go. Well, in the interest of to make this short, see you on Twitter and can't wait for the next episode. Smiley face, Deb.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you.
And this is completely unrelated.
Awesome.
To I like anything unrelated. You said in your email.
Yeah.
Did it seem like Peter Pan's hair was a little bit longer in the flashbacks?
I didn't pay that much attention to his hair.
I thought I noticed that. And I, like I said, nothing to do at all with your email. But you know what? You're going to be on the show twice in
a week.
we can diverge. But no, but thank you for writing in, and we'll talk to you Saturday. Okay, I guess I'll go ahead and read this.
Yeah, you can read this one.
From Elizabeth on Facebook, she says, OMG!
Wow, when did you make our friends Valley Girls? Take it back. Okay, sorry.
She says, OMG. The fact that I have to wait 2 weeks to see what happens is going to kill me. That was an amazing episode. But some things, looking back, don't make sense. Peter Pan has been taunting Rumpel this whole time about how he hasn't forgiven his father for abandoning him, when in fact, he is Rumpel's father and Rumpel knew. It makes all their past conversations make no sense to me. I gotta go back and watch the past episodes of this season. Am I the only one confused? Now
I feel like I've read that a lot.
Yeah, like I guess I'd have to go, particularly that scene by the campfire with the eggs in a basket and everything. I'm thinking that's probably what she's mainly referring to, or at least the one that pops into my head.
Right.
I should probably go back and rewatch that with the added context.
Well, we have 2 weeks now.
But I mean, yeah, in one sense, it really doesn't make sense for the characters to have a mysterious conversation like that.
Right.
On the other hand, it would kind of be spoiling the surprise a little bit.
Right. They had to build up for it.
In fact, if nothing else, that was probably just kind of a little red herring they put in there so maybe people wouldn't guess it. Or who knows, maybe they decided it 5 minutes before this episode came out and Peter Pan was originally supposed to be, I don't know, Little Boy Blue or something. It's hard to say, but yeah, I want to go back and watch those scenes, but I can definitely see that being kind of weird and weak and
Okay, so we got another letter from Anne Marie. Cast. Dun, dun, dun. Hi, Bill and Anne-Marie. First of all, we have a 2-week break. Question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. What about no breaks? Mm-hmm. Now to the episode. I don't even know where to start. I guess the theory that Pan being Rumpel's dad panned out, although I'm not sure I like it. It is another family tie into the charming family tree, which is already convoluted. If you look on Pinterest, there's many versions of this family tree, and they're actually very pretty. It also just makes the whole gang getting rid of both daddy and great-grandson within 2 minutes very messed up. I don't know what to think of Henry quote-unquote dying yet. It feels very Harry Potter and Voldemort-like, and I really dislike the character change in Henry. He was always the one to believe, and now he doesn't believe his family. No, he said he believes. He just felt the need to save magic before believing them.
Yeah, that's the one thing that got me, is they convinced him that they were coming from the right place, and then he did it anyway. Stupid Henry.
His age just showed. That's really all it was. One thing I loved seeing was knowing how Rumpel learned how to spin. That was kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. And he was a natural.
He was awesome. Yeah. I was like, he's not even touching the wheel. It's just going.
Yeah. I thought that was a nice little touch.
That was a good touch. It was an epic episode, though, and I would give it 27.5 Find the Lady Cards out of 28. There is always space for improvement. Awesome podcast, and keep up the good work. # Team Anne-Marie.
Another great fan-made scale.
I love it. I love it.
I like
and
that.
Everybody's giving them like a super close scale too. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Excellent.
You fail.
I failed?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because you did your special blog post with addressing a letter that we got that was too long to include in the show, and I didn't.
After multiple times in the past week, I heard, hey, are you going to get to that letter? Mm-hmm. Hey, are you going to get to that letter? And I sent him the letter, and he said, okay, cool. And he still hasn't done his letter.
Yeah, I still haven't done my letter
tisk,
yet.
Tisk, Bill Meeks. Tisk, tisk.
But I believe Dania? D-A-N-A-I-A. I can't even
spell
talk.
It. You can't.
D-A-N-I-A. Your letter, the blog, greetingsfromstorybrooke.com week, guaranteed.
You might want to send a voicemail so he knows how to pronounce your name next week. Just call me like, hey, this is Danya, and goodbye.
But, you know, we do try and address every single piece of communication we receive in one way or another.
We may write you back. We give you – we definitely tweet.
But, again, to get all that info into us, and especially for the Day of the Doctor, as soon as you finish watching it on BBC – get a hold of us. GreetingsFromStorybrooke@gmail.com is the email. @GFStorybrooke is the Twitter. Facebook.com/GreetingsFromStorybrooke is the Facebook, which is always hopping. Lots of activity over there.
I love that there's lots of hopping.
And the voicemail number is 424-274-2352. I guess that wraps it up.
That wraps it up in a nice, neat little Pandora's box.
You're getting confused again.
I'm sorry.
You're talking who? We're in once mode right now. Who's once? On Saturday?
Who's on first?
And our 50th episode, which is pretty much mind-blowing, right?
I can't believe episodes. We've done 50 episodes.
I know, and it only took us a little over a year.
So, that's actually not that bad.
Yeah, with taking most of the summer off and everything, mm-hmm, for sure. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I'm excited.
I'm so excited.
Now, in between now and then, Anne-Marie, where can people find you?
You can find me on the Twitters @AMDSimone. And I also have a little blog that I'm slowly updating. I'm working on it. It's crunchy, crafty, and highly caffeinated.wordpress.com.
And let's see, as for me, you can follow me on Twitter @BillMeeks. Google Plus is google.com/plusBillMeeks. And I wrote a book. It's about a 13-year-old superhero who's not stupid like Henry.
well, he's older than Henry, so he has that.
Who uses a trunk of magic tricks and a strange precognitive power to fight crime in Cultist City. His name's Dog Boy. The book's called Dog Boy Den of Thieves, and you can find out more information about that at dogboyadventures.com. So, I guess that's it.
I like it.
And we're going to take a little break from talking about once, talk some who, come back, circle back to Wonderland, and then we'll be back here 2 weeks from yesterday night.
Wow. We get a break.
I know. A slight.
Very slight break. It's Thanksgiving. I'll eat pie.
But yeah, and you know, if you're not a Whovian and you're going to skip out on our 50th episode, have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And until next time, greetings from Storybrooke.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.